Okay, take your Bibles now and turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. I want you to be thinking about the cross a little bit more. Just got done singing about it. The blood that stained the old rugged cross. And this evening I want you to think about it. Think about that one that hung on that old rugged cross. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Luke chapter 23, verse number 39. Of course, verse number 32 and 33, we're dealing with Calvary, so you know where we're at. Verse 33, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, that being the old rugged cross now, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Two thieves, he's between the two. And the thieves, of course, they're called malefactors there. And in verse number 39, we pick them up again, soldiers and the people in between there. But in verse number 39, one of the malefactors, so be one of the thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's quite a marvel. That's a marvel at the Lord Jesus Christ there, getting what you and I would call the low end of the stick. There on the cross, he did not die for his own sins, but he died for our sins, just like the Bible says in Matthew, Mark, and you're reading about it, Luke, the Gospel of John as well. Four accounts of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for our sins, not his own, he had none, but he did die for our sins, and there on the cross, mocked, and there in, between those two thieves, being railed on, and other things that took place there on the cross of Calvary. The one thief said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. That is, get down off the cross, get us down off the cross, prove yourself. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ did prove himself, not by getting down off the cross, but by staying on the cross. Proved how much he really cares about you and I. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. No one. Not your mother, not your grandmother, not your daddy, nor your granddaddy. Nobody ever cared for you like Jesus. Could he have got down off the cross? No problem. Could he have called 10,000 angels? Yes, he could have. Did he do it? He did not. Therefore, you and I know that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you very deeply. No love like the Savior's love. And you know the last thing the Lord Jesus Christ did in the cross of Calvary was what? Save a sinner. That's why he came. He said, I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That's the Lord. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Major reason why he came is for the major issue in your life, salvation. So you don't have to die and pay for your own sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered in your place. He bled and died in your place. He loved you that much. You don't have to pay the penalty for your sins. What a penalty it would be. Stop and think. You've sinned against an eternal God. Then you will pay and pay and pay forever. As long as God lives, the lost sinner that dies without receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior, they pay forever. But thank God, you and I are looking at the situation there. And the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the very last thing he did was save that dying thief, that malefactor. Save that dying thief. And he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He don't have to put somebody on trial. He don't have to say, if we had more time, I could do the job. We had another week, if we hadn't been on the cross here, and we had some more time before he died, I could do the job. But he didn't do that. If I could baptize you, we could get you saved. Didn't do that. He saved him on the spot. That's the capability of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you're looking at there in the cross of Calvary is what's called the greatest travesty of justice ever known to man. Travesty is what? That is, it's a mockery of justice. It is ridiculous that the Lord Jesus Christ had to take the low end of the stick like he did. Not for his own sins, but for ours. If you've ever been in a situation where you have taken something you have not deserved, you can pretty well understand what Jesus did in the cross of Calvary. Probably everybody here has at one time or another. You've had to bite the bullet. And you've had to, maybe it hadn't been you, but somebody that you know, you've seen get a deal that you call a dirty deal. Don't know how else to explain it. Don't know how to word it. But that simply tells the story, the long and the short of it. A dirty deal. You probably, if you don't know, probably somebody in your family, somebody you know, maybe you have come up with a situation like that. There's one who took even a dirtier deal, a greater travesty of justice, not to say that you haven't, or somebody you know has not, or somebody you love has not. But I'll say there's none greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that because of what Pilate said in verse number 41. Let your eye look down at verse number 41. The Bible says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man, Christ Jesus, hath done nothing amiss." That is quite a statement. Nothing amiss. You and I agree to that. You and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ personally as our Saviors, as our Savior, we feel like Solomon wrote in Song of Solomon chapter 5 when he said, "Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." We feel that very way about the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I feel like as though there are no glitches in his armor. As far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, he's altogether lovely. And the Bible says this man hath done nothing amiss. And of course this man, judging by the word of God and what the Bible says, he's not only a good man, but he's the God-man. And the Bible says that in John chapter 1, that he's the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's the God-man. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "None good but God, therefore if I'm good, I'm God." I'm going to prove to you this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the God-man. When I say that, this man is unique from every other man that ever lived. Nor could it be said of anyone justly. He hath done nothing amiss. That is a marvel that Pilate should say that, or rather the dying thief should say. I think of some of Pilate's statement. Pilate called him a just man. In Matthew chapter 27, that was his statement there. And yet they said, well, you know, they didn't like what he said. I think of the dying thief here. It didn't matter whether they liked it or did not like it. He said to the guy, jumped over the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the other thief, he said, "This man hath done nothing amiss." We got it coming. We deserve it. We're getting our due reward. This is what we should be getting, but not this man. This man, I would say, is the marvel of all men. Hath done nothing amiss. When I think of that, I think to myself, that is quite a statement there, only to be said about the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, anybody, you, even yourself, it's always the old story, woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's as though, you know, I should not have done this. I shoulda done this. And I did not do this, but I coulda done this. And woulda, coulda, shoulda is a story of our life, not the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of the best man that ever lived, could not satisfy the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody that ever walked in shoe leather or out of shoe leather that it could be said about like it was of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing amiss. He is the marvel of all marvels. He is a marvelous man just to have that said about him. It was David who in Psalm 51 confessed how badly he had sinned against the Lord. David, he would say, you know, I was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. And you and I would have to say the same thing. I've got a nature I may not want to sin, but that nature does a number on me. And from time to time, I buckle. From time to time, I must confess to you that I go down. And you and I, if we're going to be honest and truthful, we'd have to be like David of old and say, man, that sinful nature, that old sinful nature has got me and got the best of me. And therefore, sin has been put into practice there. And that is always the story. A sinner by nature becomes a sinner by practice. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, the statement there, he hath done nothing amiss. And you know, sometimes it's always kind of astonishing and kind of childlike, I guess, whenever you find a Christian who, because they've got a few things corrected in their life, they begin to think that they are somebody. Sometimes they go so far as to think they're cock of the walk. And they get bragging about themselves. They get boasting about themselves. They get very stuck on themselves and hung up on themselves. And yet it's only the Lord Jesus Christ that that statement could be made about. He hath done nothing amiss. You and I can look back and we don't have to look very far. Just this past week. And you'd have to say, I have not been the husband I should be. I have not been the dad that I should be. I have not certainly been the pastor that I should be. And I could not look back even one week and say that I have done nothing amiss. Probably you would be like me. You'd be hard-pressed. You'd have to obliterate a whole lot. You'd have to eliminate about 6.5 days out of the week. And you'd have to pick out selected areas and say, what else could I do? I don't know what else I could do. I've done everything I could do. But you could not say honestly, like the Lord was said about the Lord Jesus Christ, he hath done nothing amiss. That is a marvel. That is amazing that anybody would even think of saying that. But they said it not about themselves. They said it about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he a marvelous man and a marvelous and wonderful Savior. Yes, he's wonderful. He's marvelous. He is all that. But he's a merciful man. This man is a merciful man. You take that dying thief on the cross. Verse number 43, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's what you call mercy. Not as though that you give you a little time here, you need to suffer a while. You've been a rotten thief. You've been a crook. You've taken things that haven't belonged to you, and you need to suffer a while for it. Lord Jesus Christ did not do that at all. He is a merciful man. This man is a merciful man. Now notice that term there in verse number 41. This man hath done nothing amiss. That is, he's unique and he's distinct from everybody else. Not only is he a marvel in that he hath done nothing amiss, but he's a marvel in that he is a merciful man. Now take your Bible and go to the book of Acts and look at Acts chapter 13. And the Bible speaks about this man again. Acts chapter 13, and in Acts chapter 13, look at verse number 38. The Bible says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ again, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all the believer justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. That is saying a lot. That is saying that he is a merciful man. Preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And then he goes on and pushes the thing and lets you know there are some things under the law of Moses there was no forgiveness for. There were some things under the law of Moses where they were take them outside the city and stone them till they died. There were some things they were to be burnt till they died. There were some things there absolutely there were in the law of Moses there that there was no forgiveness for it. I mean, they were death was it. That was the penalty they were to pay. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a merciful man. And the Bible says even those things there, the Lord Jesus Christ does offer forgiveness. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, through this man, Christ Jesus, is preached preach unto you the forgiveness of sins. In the Bible, in Colossians chapter 1, it speaks about forgiveness of sins, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Again, the Bible in Acts chapter 5, verse number 31, it said to the nation of Israel there, repent ye therefore to Israel. And then if you're willing to do that, the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to forgive you. Be in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 31. The Bible says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ had to suffer, bleed, and die, he continuously offers even to the nation of Israel. And it was Peter that constantly said to them, you have with wicked hands, you've crucified and slain him. It was Israel there that said, his blood be on us and upon our children, and crucify him, crucify him. And even to them, he offers repentance and forgiveness of sins. I would have to say that he is a merciful man. If he could offer repentance, forgiveness of sins to them, he offers it to you tonight. You can be saved tonight, just like he offered to Israel. If you will repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiveness can be yours even tonight. I think of the woman there in Luke chapter 7, the Pharisees, doesn't he understand, doesn't know who's there, doesn't he realize who he's eating with? He said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And this woman that had a track record that wasn't exactly too awful sweet, the Lord Jesus Christ, he realized if he could forgive someone like that, she would love him and love him very deeply and very dearly, and that she did. And he said, to whom much is forgiven, they will love much. And to that woman he said, go thy way, thy sins be forgiven thee. Sure, she had a background. She liked the woman in John chapter 4. She had a background. She had a past. Never changed anything as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. Thy sins be forgiven thee. I would say that he is undoubtedly a very merciful man. In the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about this man again. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 10, it says, through this man. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 10. And the Bible makes a statement there and says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, the merciful man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and you read about in the cross of Calvary there in Luke 23, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering, he never has to die on that cross again. That offering is to never be, will never be repeated again. One offering is sufficient, for by one offering hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. I say to you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is a merciful man. He's a marvelous man in that he hath done nothing amiss. He is a merciful man in that he said to the dying thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This past week, there was a trial in your town. You read about the newspaper, and it talked about the one fellow that had shot the other fellow and claimed he didn't really mean to do that, put him away, but he put him away. And the father of the young man that was killed testified before the sentencing and said to the young man that had shot and killed his son, I will never forgive you. I will never forgive you. That is standard. You and I would be hard-pressed if somebody pulled the trigger on our son, though the son wasn't maybe doing right. You'd still be hard-pressed to be able to say, I forgive you, I'm willing to forgive you. That'd be hard-pressed. However, this man said, I'll never find it in my heart to ever forgive you. You took something from us that can never, ever be replaced. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, they took his own life from him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He is a merciful man. You would have to agree to that. Nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to mercy. He wants to save you. He wants to save you on the spot. He wants to save you tonight. He's got mercy and forgiveness of sins for you tonight. Not only is he a merciful man, but he is a mocked man. When I say that because in verse number 11, in Luke chapter 23, the Bible says, Herod with his men of war set him at naught. That is, they belittled him. They made him out like, you are less than nothing. Set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. He was a mocked man. In verse number 36 as well, and the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. The Lord Jesus Christ was a mocked man. He was a marked man. And when I say that because he was a marred man as well. And Isaiah 52 and verse number 14 said, his visage is so marred more than any man. In Isaiah 53, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was a mocked and a marked man. Take your Bible now and go to the Gospel of John. Look at John chapter 19 and verse number 5. Behold the man. He not only was mocked, but he was marred. And it was Pilate who took that crown of thorns and placed it on his head. In verse number 1, Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. With his stripes we are healed. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. He's marred, he's mocked with his stripes. Those furrows across his back. That cat of nine tails, just, I mean, the blood began to flow. The flesh was stripped from his back there. The Bible describes it in detail in Isaiah chapter 50 and Isaiah 53. With his stripes we are healed. Pilate, therefore, went forth again, saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then he says in verse number 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. He is a mocked man. He is a marked man. Not that he would take a mark that he should not. He never went that direction at all. The Bible says back in the Old Testament, you don't mark your body. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament, every jaw, every tittle. He was not marked that way, but he certainly was marked with his stripes. We are healed. You'd have to say, undoubtedly, he is the marvel. He's the merciful man, and he is the mocked, and he is the marred, and he is the marked man. With his stripes, we are healed. Not only that, he's the middle man. You read the first verse there in Luke chapter 23. There he is between the two thieves. Verse number 32, there were also two other malefactors led to be put to death, with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Jesus Christ being in the middle, he is the middle man. But you know, he's not only the middle man as far as location there in the cross of Calvary. He's the middle man as far as you and God in heaven are concerned. That is, God in heaven is holy. You and I, our problem is sin. Therefore, there's no compatibility between you and God in heaven. There's got to be a middle man. There's got to be what is called in the Bible a mediator, a middle man, and that man was the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible, in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible makes a statement there. It says, let's see, that's 2 Timothy, no wonder. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says, who will have all men to come to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator, just one. Not that priest that stands daily. He can't do you any good. The Bible told you that in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 11. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the middleman that can do you some good. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He is the middleman. And for you and I to get all the way to glory, for you and I to miss a hot, burning, flaming hell, like Jesus Christ talked about, our sins have got to be forgiven, and we cannot forgive our own sins. We cannot say, I'm going to do better. I haven't done anything too bad. We can't get it by that way. You've got to have a middleman. You've got to have a mediator. You've got to have somebody that can offer a sacrifice that satisfies you, but more than that, satisfies God in heaven. And the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He's the middleman. He is the one that nobody else can do the job. You could go to this church, or this church. You go forever and never find a middleman that gets the job done. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is a middleman that has a sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice that God in heaven is satisfied or pleased with. He is a propitiation for our sins. What a man he is. When the Bible says, this man hath done nothing amiss. What a marvel. And then the Bible speaks about him offering forgiveness of sins to that dying thief. He is a merciful man. When the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible speaks about how that Pilate said, behold the man, that was after he not only was mocked, but he was marred. And you think about those nail prints in the hand. It was Thomas that said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and the hole in his side, I will not believe. And the Lord Jesus Christ produced the nail prints in his hand, said, Thomas, why don't you just take your hand and reach those hands, the nail print in those hands, and take your hand, stick it in the hole in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God, had no problem after that. He is a marked man. One day, the distinction, of course, between the Christian that has a resurrection body and the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll be one thing. It'll be one of these wounds in thine hands. He is a marked man. He was a mocked man. And he is the middleman and the only middleman that can get you from here to glory. And the only one that is satisfied, the Father in heaven who is holy. His sacrifice had to be a perfect sacrifice, and that it was. The middleman, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but he is a mystery. Mystery-less man. When he came into the world, hard to believe that this little baby is God. That's a great mystery. But the mystery surrounding the Lord Jesus Christ is removed. After the resurrection and things that took place, that mystery and mystique is taken away. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was God. That's a mystery. God, a baby. You can't fathom that. It's true. Though you don't understand, it's still true. God was a baby. God could condescend. That he did. He came down here in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the form of a baby. That is a great mystery. But as time goes on, 33 and a half years later, the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary. What he did in the cross of Calvary and the events that followed took away all mystery about him. And I say that because in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 47, it was that centurion, a man of authority who had 100 men under him, that made a statement after observing what went on there in the cross of Calvary and what followed. That is, darkness over all the land from the sixth unto the ninth hour. The things that took place there in the cross of Calvary removed all doubt about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he was as far as the man of authority, the centurion, was concerned. Things that happened there caused him to say, now when the centurion saw what was done, what he said and what was done, how that because of Jesus Christ being the cross of Calvary, the lights of heaven went out. How that everything was altered just because of the Lord Jesus Christ. His deduction was, there is no mystery whatsoever in my mind. And he said, a man of respectability, a man of authority, he said, certainly this was a righteous man. He had no doubt about it. I mean, made a statement there. I am certain about it. I have no guesswork anymore. anymore. There's no mystery connected with it anymore. There might have been a mystery when he was born, but when he died, all mystery is removed. And I would call him a mysteryless man. He said, certainly this was a righteous man. Back in the Gospel of Mark, the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and said, truly, this man was the Son of God. There never been another man like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's never been another one which all heaven, everything is altered because of one man. And that fellow was very wise. He thought it through. He wasn't a dunce. He wasn't somebody just say, well, I believe anything. He was not that at all. He observed what went on. He saw what took place. He saw how God the Father in heaven, how things reacted, what all went on. And the mystery as far as he's concerned is removed. And I hope it is for you as well. It certainly is as far as I'm concerned. And he says, certainly this was a righteous man. So you and I look at this man. This man hath done nothing amiss. He's the God man. Not only is he a good man, some people say, well, he was a good man. Yes, he did that, but he is more than that. He is a God, the God man. And the mystery is removed. And that's not the end. Not only that, he is a miracle man. When I say he's a miracle man, don't know about you, but I'm kind of like Herod and Pilate. They wanted to see a miracle. In Luke chapter 23, look at verse number 8. The Bible says there, when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. The Lord Jesus Christ was the miracle man. First miracle, the marriage in Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2. Second miracle, the noble man's son healed him, wasn't even in his presence. Go thy way, thy son liveth. He figured it out. Man, he began to mend at the seventh hour. That's when he said that. The Lord Jesus Christ healed his son. Another miracle. That blind man made clay the spittle there, spit in the ground, made clay of it, nor the eyes of the blind man, go thy way, the pool of Siloam, go away and wash thy eyes, and he came seeing. That is the blind man, the blind Bartimaeus. There were two of them there. And he said, cried out, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Well, what do you want? That I might see. And he opened the eyes of that blind man. It was the miracle one after another, he is the miracle man. Acknowledged by Nicodemus in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says, then came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus. He came to Jesus, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And he was wise enough to realize these miracles, that'll happen. And but I feel like Pilate, I feel like Herod. I'd like to see some miracle done by him. You know what? One glad day we're going to see a miracle done by him. We're going to see every Christian on the face of God's earth transform in a moment, twinkling of an eye, get a brand new body like he had after the resurrection, leave this earth, go right now, and up we go and be with the Lord in the air, our loved ones as well, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know what that's going to be? That's going to be a miracle. That doesn't happen every day. You'd like to see somebody sick, get well, get a new body, forget all the trouble. Doesn't go that way. They die, they leave the body, they leave the trouble, but one day the dead in Christ shall rise for another miracle, and you and I are going to see there. We're going to be there, see the rapture one way or another, miracle. He's the miracle man. When I say that, I say to myself, that's just an amazing thing that the Lord could do all that. A miracle man. And acknowledged by Nicodemus. He didn't say, we heard that you have done some miracles. I'm not sure I believe that or not. I really believe, I've never seen a miracle. I'm not sure I believe that. But he knew, thou art teacher come from God. No man, the average man, does not and cannot do the miracles that you have done. He is a miracle man. Last of all, let me say this, he is a man's man. And I say that because in verse number 26, Luke chapter 23, And in verse number 26, the Bible says, and they led him away. That's after the fake trial, the sham, the fraud, call it what you want. And they led him away. As they led him away, they laid hold upon Simon a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And you know, we sing a song, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free?" No, there's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you. There's a cross for me. But sometimes we don't like to bear the cross. Sometimes when it comes time to bear a cross, we buckle instead of bearing the cross. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, because of the so-called some loss of blood there, and because of the weight of that cross, it was Simon the Cyrene who gave a hand there. But Jesus Christ, willing to bear the cross all the way up Calvary's mountain, all the way to the place of the skull, Golgotha, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a man's man. He's willing to bear the cross. You know, I think of Peter, and Peter is a good man. But Luke chapter 22 and verse number 65 in that range there. It was Peter who ultimately buckled. That is, although he made a lot of statements, and even the situation there in the Garden of Gethsemane when he took Malchus's ear off, there came a time when he did fold the tent up. He buckled. Finally got her turned around and did not buckle again. But there was a time when he thought he could do it himself. He's going to go against the word of God. And he said, "All men will fail you, but I will not." And Jesus had said, the scripture says, going to be this way. And he tried to go against the word of God. Did not work. Later on, he knew when his decease would come, "You didn't handle it right first time, but another will gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Didn't do it right the first time. He did buckle under the pressure. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore the cross. He did not buckle whatsoever under the pressure. As I look at that, I think to myself, it's just amazing what the Lord Jesus Christ could do. I mean, this man is a marvel. Because he's the God-man, nothing amiss. This man is a merciful man. Can save on the spot. Do you know nothing's changed in that area? Do you know he can save tonight like he did 2,000 years ago? Do you know he could save on the spot as quickly as that sinner turns to him and said, "Lord, please, I need to be saved. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Right now, on the spot, he will save them. He is a merciful man. Though he paid a heavy price, he did not treat it like some treat it. "I will never, ever forgive you." That was not a problem with the Lord. Forgiveness, even situations under the law of Moses that could never be forgiven, the Lord Jesus Christ covered those as well. A very merciful man. This man is a mocked and a marred man. This man is a middleman. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is a mystery-less man. The Lord Jesus Christ, a miracle man. In Luke chapter 23, there were many that were forgiven or healed of their diseases at that time. Not only that, Luke chapter 7, again, a bunch more, a miracle man and a man's man. Now, of course, the question is, the Lord Jesus Christ, is he yours? Charles Weigel, that wrote the song we sang this morning, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." That is, his own wife did not care for him like Jesus. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Nobody is quite like the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 24, it was the Lord Jesus Christ right before he went back to heaven after the resurrection and spent some time here to speak of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 24 and verse number 50, this is pretty amazing. And he led them out as far as the Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. Isn't that amazing? This man hath done nothing amiss. And in verse number 51, it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. But you know, you stop and think of Elisha. He was a good man, prophet of God, quite a man. He called for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, and God gave it to him. The water's now in part. He crossed the Jordan River as well. But you have one thing after another that took place under Elisha. He was quite the man. However, come a time whenever Elisha was mocked, and Elisha didn't handle it quite like the Lord did. They mocked him, and that didn't change anything. Stayed on the old rugged cross. Paid for your sins and mine. Elijah was a good man. Elisha was a good man. When they mocked him and said, thou bald head, he didn't bless them like the Lord Jesus did, but he cursed them. Bears came out of the woods and tore them apart. That was it. You think of Peter was a good man. Didn't match up to the boots of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul, outstanding, but not like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ that it could be honestly said, just like the dying thief said, this man hath done nothing amiss. And tonight, I would think you probably feel that way. And you know, as far as Peter's concerned, the Roman Catholics, they feel like, you know, St. Peter, he is our man. The hyper-dispensationalists, they feel like it's the Apostle Paul. Paul is our man. And in answer to that, not too awful long ago, John told somebody, Jesus is my man. And I would think that Jesus would be your man as well. And he said, you got a bad spirit when you say, my man is Paul. And that's because in John chapter 16, the Bible says when the Spirit of truth has come, he will glorify me. Doesn't even glorify himself. He shall glorify me. And you and I, when we think of somebody, man, it's Peter, St. Peter, that's not the Holy Spirit. And somebody says, Paul is my man. That's not the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus Christ. It's this man and this man alone that hath done nothing amiss. Nothing amiss. Think of that. Nothing amiss. He fulfilled the Old Testament law, every jot, every tittle. I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Nobody else has ever even come close. This man hath done nothing amiss. And you think that he would just strut? You think he'd be, get away from me, don't touch me, you might contaminate me. But this man was a merciful man. And to the dying thief that came unto him, right instantly, he offered salvation and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And through this man is preached unto you today the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's not one sin out there that you or anybody else has ever committed that cannot be forgiven and put under the blood, if put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is my man. Yeah. Is he your man? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Israel, yep, you're guilty. Yep, what are we doing? What can we do? We've crucified the Lord of glory. What do we do? You repent, and he will forgive even your sins nationally. You and I individually, nationally as well. No limitations. He's a merciful man. Now the question is tonight, do you know the Lord? Do you feel like Pilate? This man has done nothing amiss. I have. I look back on the past week, and I hang my head. Past week. as a husband, and as a father, I'm sure I haven't batted 1,000. Ask my children. And as a grandfather, maybe I've had a couple things right, but there are probably things I could have done I did not do for them. And as a pastor, yes, I put the hours in. Yes, I've done a lot of praying. Yes, but it certainly could not be said of myself, nor of you, nor anybody. This man hath done nothing amiss, and you know it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you ask him to save you, he won't miss you either. And he'll take you right now. You don't have to say, well, I got to think about it. Wow, I got to reform. I got to get it turned around here. You got to come to him. And you got to ask him. And the answer will be today, right now. Today shalt thou be on the road to glory. Right now, today. This man hath done nothing amiss, and he's a merciful man. He wants to have mercy on you tonight. Father, we're thankful now for the word of God. May the Holy Spirit of God speak to hearts. May we never ever deviate, Lord, from the words of that dying thief. This man hath done nothing amiss. Or Pilate, who said, this man is a just man, and said, behold the man. God, help to always appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. And though we appreciate church age doctrine by way of the Apostle Paul, and Peter, how that he recovered from his blunder, and how that he went on, preached as strong as ever. God, may our man always be the Lord Jesus Christ. Help these Christians to be locked in. Help them, Lord, to love the Lord Jesus more than they ever have. God, may they never ever alter whatsoever. There are men that we consider good men, men that we would consider great men, but help our man to be the Lord Jesus. This man hath done nothing amiss. And Lord, speak to the hearts of each one here tonight. And God, if there's one here that's never been saved, help to see their lost condition, Lord, and on the road to hell. But they don't have to stay on that road. That can be changed tonight. If they will but come receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, would you speak to hearts tonight? Lord, it's wonderful to be able to preach about you in the depths of the heart. Nothing beefed up, just the truth. Not trying to put any airs on, deal with the truth.